This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Mounting uncertainty sends global stock markets on the decline. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. We'll kick things off today with a check of the numbers. European benchmarks are deep into negative territory to start this week. Stock markets in London, Paris, Frankfurt, and Milan have trimmed early declines. They're now down in the 1% to 2% range. Benchmarks across Asia posted similar declines, while U.S. stock futures look to open down sharply lower, though they've also paired early losses. The S&P 500 future is down 1.3%. Dow futures are off 2.7%. Brent and West Texas crude prices, meanwhile, are down in the 3% to 4% range. Driving the declines is mounting uncertainty about the impact of the Omicron coronavirus variant. Over the weekend, the Netherlands went back into a national lockdown. And here in the UK, the health secretary won't rule out tighter restrictions before Christmas. Shanti Kellerman, chief investment officer at M&G Wealth Management, says part of today's declines is a move to take this year's profits off the table.
As we get to the end of the year, people sometimes don't want risk left on the table while they're off enjoying their holidays. But the other thing is news about lockdowns in the Netherlands, the UK not being willing to commit to not having any further changes. And then also in the US, we have some uncertainty about the $2 trillion Build Back Better bill being passed. And that was kind of, I think, priced in and people thought that was definitely going to happen. Now that that's up in the air, it puts a little more doubt on the level of growth we might see in the U.S. next year.
And if we talk about lockdowns, governments and central banks were able to offer a lot of economic support to keep businesses going through the pandemic. But with all that support already unleashed, interest rates still hovering near record lows, if more support is needed because of further lockdowns and further restrictions, what can governments and central banks really do now? Is there much room left?
There absolutely is room. And the main reason is the first thing you said, that interest rates are still very low. And that means that the cost of borrowing for governments and the cost to service that debt remains quite low. They might look to do something that's more targeted at specific industries, because our society has adapted in a lot of ways. The impact of the lockdown that we saw in January, February of 2021 was a lot less severe than we saw in March 2020. And I'd expect if something does happen in the beginning of 2022, you know, it will matter. But because we've all adapted our lives, there'll probably be a bit less support that's needed to different industries in society.
Shanti Kellerman from MNG. Thanks for breaking this down for us this morning.
Thank you.
To Poland now, where protests in more than 100 towns and cities broke out over the weekend, driven by opposition to a controversial bill that both the U.S. and the European Union say will restrict media freedom. Many fear Poland's government will use the legislation, which was unexpectedly passed by Parliament Friday, to silence critics, including at a TV news channel owned by American media company Discovery. The BBC's Adam Easton in Warsaw has more on that story.
Outside the presidential palace, protesters chanted "free media." Poland's public broadcaster, TVP, has already been turned into a government mouthpiece. Many here believe the governing Law and Justice Party wants to force the US owners of the country's largest private channel, TVN, to sell up. Senior officials say the legislation is needed to prevent Chinese or Russian companies taking control of Polish media, but they routinely complain about what they call TVN's biased news coverage. The US State Department said the law would undermine freedom of expression and harm foreign investment in Poland.
That's Adam Easton reporting from Warsaw there. Well, Chile has also been rocked by mass demonstrations in recent years against inequality and corruption. Now voters hope the nation's youngest ever president-elect will help unify the country. 35-year-old Gabriel Boric addressed jubilant supporters last night at a rally after he beat his far-right rival with 56% of the vote. The BBC's Katie Watson has more from Santiago.
Within minutes of the polls closing, supporters of Gabriel Boric started gathering, waving Chilean flags and wearing baseball hats with his name on. Speaking to a crowd of thousands in the centre of Santiago, he promised to be a leader for everyone. I guarantee I'll be a president that ensures democracy and doesn't endanger it, he said. I'll listen more than I speak, look for unity in agreements, combat privilege and work every day for your family's quality of life. For many, this result was a natural conclusion of the past few years. Protests began in 2019 with a rise in transport costs, but they symbolised so much more and grew to challenge the deep inequalities in a country known for its economic stability. A year later, Chileans voted to rip up the dictatorship-era constitution and write a newer, more inclusive one. This is a new era for Chile and a new kind of president. But Gabriel Boric's biggest challenge will be to unite the millions of Chileans who voted for the other side.
That's the BBC's Katie Watson reporting from the Chilean capital, Santiago, there. Well, one final number to throw at you this morning, 17.2. That's how many lira it takes to buy one U.S. dollar now. The Turkish currency is down another 6% after the country's president said due to religious beliefs, no one should expect him to support higher interest rates to combat red-hot inflation. That's a topic producer Stephen Ryan and I spent all of last week diving into. If you want to know more about what's happening in Turkey, find me on Twitter at Victoria Craig. There I've posted links to all of our coverage. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.